Now and Again is brought to you by the Cage Club Podcast Network. For all things Cage, Keanu, and more, head on over to cageclub.me. That is cageclub.me. Please play this song on the radio. Please play this song on the radio. Hey, it's now. That's Why I Call Music, Volume 16. We are in July 2004. With me today, my co-host, my buddy, my friend since way back then even, Nico Vasillo. Nico, how are you?
Hey guys, I could not be more excited to record this episode. I really couldn't. This kind of proves a huge thing I said a couple of episodes ago. This is the first one of the summer after we graduated, and almost every one of these songs has a significance for me. So I'm super stoked.
That's cool. So this is going to be like a Nico episode for the most part, because I have very little. The songs I have anything to say about, I have a lot to say.
I think you could describe most of my life as a series of Nico episodes.
That is extremely true. So I feel like when I went to college, like, I had a lot of fun the summer between high school and college. People do. Yeah, I feel like that's one where a lot of people have fun. I feel like I just stopped listening to like radio music for a while. Like in my head, the next like mainstream pop song I remember being a thing was like Usher's Yeah, and I think that's still at least a little bit away. And so like what I have in my memory banks of pop music right now, other than a couple of really obvious ones, is very sketchy. So yeah, some of this brought back some memories, some of this I didn't know existed and I wish I didn't know existed. Some of these are like all time, like such a 2004 song that you can't forget it. But I do want to talk about, so Nico and I have had a, kind of like how the NFL meets and makes more rules every year to make things more confusing. We had an executive meeting and we talked about kind of the format of the show. And we decided that we're not going to struggle to say stuff about songs that we have nothing to say anything about. Like songs that aren't good, songs that aren't so bad, because we love to cover the so bad songs. Songs that are just kind of nothing. They taste like communion wafers going down.
Yeah, we certainly. I like to go back and listen. I do. I love everything but the sound of my own voice. I love the things I say, even just not the sound of my voice. Anyway, put in my story. I go back and I listen to some of these sometimes, and I'm ever amused by our canon. We seem to actually have a pretty evolved canon, both personally and meta. I noticed how much sometimes I'm like, so I did a bunch of research on this, and you'll be like, yeah, because here's the I couldn't find anything about it. So now I was like, I know, right? So when I was looking it up, sometimes it's almost like director's notes on how we came up with what we were talking about, and it's fun. But it has nothing to do with the music or the state of affairs. Sometimes we are just so excited to talk about Google, and I think that's a problem.
Yeah, at times it's a problem. It's more of a problem when we've been experimenting, and we like to do some fun episodes. Like, we just had a month where we did some wacky shit that we haven't done before, and because we really need a break from this format every now and then. And what this will kind of
every
allow us to
now
do,
and again.
Exactly, yes. This will kind of, our plan is to do like a now episode and an again episode every month. Instead of doing a side A and side B, our goal is maybe like the now episode is talking about something relevant to, you know, circa 2018, whatever year we're recording in. And then the again episode would be going back and doing the compilation. And it allows us to do more stuff like have mental breakdowns on the air while listening to Tiffany Trump songs. Because that's fun.
Yeah, that's the sound of de-evolution.
I mean, we get to do some more stuff. We can bring in some more guests, have little mini episodes. We're not going to sacrifice the quality entirely. You know, it is a quality over quantity thing. Like, if it takes two episodes, a whole month, to get through now because there's a lot of stuff on there worth talking about, we're not going to shorten an episode artificially. We're still going to talk about it as we normally would.
So we're not going to be splicing in some of those terrible songs that we have to do research to even be able to discuss, because that's a waste of your time. We know you guys want to get to more fun and more songs you remember. Okay, let's get into this shitstorm of an episode. We are getting so good at this, never starting the episode. Well, you know what? No, because this is also, like, we actually save our catch-up time for this.
It's true.
Like, we actually do catch-up on air, which has been a lot of fun, because, like, it's so stupid, but you were best man at my wedding, and I still think this is the closest we've ever been, despite sometimes we talk exactly twice a month.
Yeah.
Episode.
Yeah.
And setting up next episode.
It's like we just saw each other yesterday.
Yeah. 100%.
All right. Now let's
okay.
ruin that by talking about Eminem and D12's My Band.
Okay, so this is really fascinating. We've had a number of bands break up and get a bunch of solo artists from the project, but this is the first time we have a guy who's like, I'm the most successful in my industry, now I'm going to have a band, and it's going to be monumentally less successful than my solo project.
This is clearly Eminem trying to create like a backdoor pilot, but forgetting that you have to make it about the other people at least a little bit.
These chicks don't even... Yeah, it's pretty stupid. And it's like, one of the things about Eminem is that he has like three speeds in my experience. I mean, I know I'm not an Eminem aficionado. Like, this isn't about to be me talking about the multiple parts of his singles. I don't know his music that well. Growing up, I got the first three records. And I found he had three speeds pretty much. He had kind of like that show-offy... Mm-hmm. technical skill set that he has that he likes to put out there.
Right.
He has the very dark and serious and severe. And then he has Na 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 Na.
Oh, yeah. And everyone knows exactly what songs that is. This is one of them.
Yeah. And it's really fucking annoying because, like, it's kind of like the male equivalent of baby voice. You know how you've got, like, that female friend who's frequently like, but baby, what is blah, 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 and you just want to be like, and, like, you just want to, like, tear her hair out and feed it to her and be like, do babies eat hair? And, like, you know what I mean? But, like, when I hear, like, an adult male use, like, little high school bully voice, like a Rob Riggle character,
oh, God, yeah.
I just want to be like, do babies eat their own thighs? And just, like, rip chunks of their thighs off. Like, I can't handle it. It's so irritating. And I think this is just one of those Eminem songs where I'm like, no, brother, I don't. I can't.
When you try to do comedy in a song, and your comedy, like, the punchline is listen to how bad this sounds, there's a real problem just from Jump Street. Like, How can anybody listen to this song more than once? Like, how could anybody go back and be like, yeah, I want to hear Eminem go, for 3 minutes?
Well, no, but, like, even then, like, part of the thing that's so ridiculous is the joke wears itself out. I can't do it all from memory at this point because I haven't watched MTV 7 hours a day in over a decade at this point. But one of the things that I remembered from this song going right into it was... That's why ladies love us, but they hate the pressure. Like, it purposely devolves into nonsense.
Right.
Over yes. and over. There just comes a point where you're like, guys, I mean, like, I'm high right now, but, like, there is a point at which you're like, no, be less high when you're in the studio.
Eminem put out a new album this year after he had that, like, Trump freestyle that people were like, oh, Eminem's still alive, and this isn't embarrassing. Then he put out an album.
My name is Eminem, and I'm socially relevant and rapping about the president! And, you know, it's that...
Well, then he put out an album that made everyone go, oh, maybe Eminem actually is dead and was replaced by a pod person, and this is embarrassing. And it's because he's very clearly not trying in 2018. And if there's one thing that Eminem did, it was try. He was like the absolute definition of a try-hard rapper. He tried super hard to be funny. He tried super hard to be edgy. He tried super hard to be dark. And the moment, like, either everyone who's paying attention is just like, no, dude, dial it back. You're trying way too hard. Or they stop trying. Like, Eminem has nothing anymore. And that's why I think this kind of Eminemissance that he attempted failed so spectacularly. And this is a great example of him trying way too hard. This last 30 seconds of this video, where they, I don't even know if this was in the actual song or just the video, where they do like this really embarrassing mariachi thing. It's just, it's,
yep.
It's, how could anyone listen to this?
Salsa.
How can anyone listen to this?
The my salsa bit. It's, Number one, Eminemissance is, I hope you get like the best sloppy head ever for that. That's so funny. I literally can't believe how funny that is. I swear to God, that is up there with Latte Gaze. That is like one of the best things to come out of this podcast, bar none. Holy shit. And I think you did just say it the best. It devolves into that nonsense at the end. The My Salsa bit. This song is just too much weed and not enough concept.
It's like, and there was no one there that was willing to say to Eminem, who's like God King of rap at this point in 2004. No one was like, dude, this isn't funny to anybody but you. Like, no one was willing to say that.
Nah, I got 11 people who agree with me.
Yeah. Well, let's go to like an actual. Oh, God.
I was about to say, let's go. That's literally what I was about to do. Like, let's go from a song that's a bunch of randos screaming at each other to a song that's two geniuses collaborating.
One of the best pop songs of the 2000s, Hey Ya by Outkast. You think you've got it, fool. You think you've got it, but got it. Just don't get it till there's nothing at all. We get together, fool. We get together, but separate songs. This song still slaps when you play it today.
It's one of those songs. We talked about a few songs that have changed our lexicon. Mm-hmm. I've said how Mary J. Blige's No More Drama, that whole record between Family Affair and No More Drama, it put a lot of terms in our cultural vocabulary. You know, I'm going to get it in. I think Mariah Carey using Butterfly and explaining that the album is Butterfly because she broke out of the cocoon of the mansion she was trapped in all the time. I think that did help make, you know, the lower back white girl tramp stamp butterfly tattoo an international thing. You know, there are just certain things that penetrate our world. And if you say Shake It Like A, everyone says Polaroid Picture. And if you say, lend me some, people will say, sugar, I am your neighbor. And everybody thinks they're the first person to go, uh-oh, over and over again. Then there's that asshole who just likes to do the, I'm just being honest, when it's not even happening, over and over. No, this song, like, I love this song, but this song invaded our ears in an unsettling way. One of the things that's super cool is the blended vocal of Andre 3000 doing gang vocals of himself.
Yeah.
So it all has that vague dissonance, so it sounds a little bit like a 1960s record in a really cool classic way just by quality production.
Which they're banking on in the video as well. They're straight up doing that kind of 60s American Bandstand aesthetic. Even making a reference to That Thing You Do, which did that on a film, and you were a guest on the episode for on the sister podcast, Watch the Throne.
Can I, one more time, being on that podcast with those two guys, those two awesome dudes who know so much about movies, was like I make a big joke, because I have an opinion about everything I talk about. People are like, you can't possibly know something about everything you talk about. And I say, actually, I do. It's because I don't talk about stuff I don't know anything about, so I never sound wrong or stupid. When I talk to people who know movies about movies, I frequently feel like a Teletubby who was inexplicably written into an episode of The West Wing. And I feel like everyone's, man, like, the president's melting, and I'm like, and like, again, and like,
I'm just picturing like Bradley Whitford walking, talking, just talking about like, well, you know, Syria is up and down again, and then it's like,
and exactly,
it's the best thing ever.
Donna Winky points at her ridiculous TV stomach, and it's exactly what it is. And it was such a great time being on that show with those two guys, because even though I was like, okay, I don't know anything about movies, come at this with your shtick. What's your best shtick right now? Cuckolds. And like, even though I was like, come at this from that perspective, that was awesome. They were super cool. I actually really liked doing that episode.
We need to have decorum. How dare you, Mr. President?
I will not have any Teletubby talk to me that way. Leo, tell this Teletubby, stop calling me that. You know, like, I mean, like, that's Tubsist. So,
oh, man. Hey, everything about Hey Ya on paper is, like, so annoying. but somehow it works so goddamn well. Like, if you just told me there'd be a whole breakdown of someone just going, all right, all right, all right, all right, all right, and, like, I would love it, I wouldn't believe you.
I have been waiting for an opportunity to talk about Outkast. We've talked around Outkast, we brought up Outkast, but, you know, Speakerbox The Love Below was the record. Period. Mm-hmm. Shut the fuck up.
Yeah.
This was the record. This was the thing everyone talked about. It had three humongous hits. It had this, The Way You Move, and Roses. And
Caroline.
You know, this was the record. I remember everybody talked about this album. It was nominated for every fucking award. It was all that was on anything. Everybody thought Outkast was gonna be the fucking thing because they even had the credibility of Rosa Parks and Bombs Over Baghdad giving them substance to their music. They had Miss Jackson, which was, in, you know, somewhat known about Erykah Badu. And, you know, this was such a fucking... They were in the right place at the right time. They were a piece of art. And then they had Idlewild, and it just didn't translate. They didn't sustain the momentum. It's almost like they had the right idea at the right time, and the success they achieved burned out their celebrity. And I think, you know, I think it's like, I'm going to be honest with you, I do think the world wanted Justin Timberlake to fail at this Super Bowl after he got it. I think there was enough backlash in advance about him getting it that he was doomed to fail.
Yeah, I see that.
I sort of feel that that's what happened to Outkast after this. Everybody was like, well, I mean, that was the song then. It's, there are certain things you'll never surpass. And I think the world was not willing to give Outkast a chance to recover from this song.
Yeah, how do you? How do you recover from this album? There's nowhere to go but down.
Yeah.
But, yeah, you can't replicate it. You can only underperform. You can only set the expectations low, but no one is going to go there with you. Everyone will have those high expectations from that Hey-Ya. And... yeah, they were doomed. They were cursed. They couldn't. They flew too close to the sun.
And you know what's really weird? Do you know what's really fucking weird? Even Lady Gaga had Joanne, but I'm going to bring up Princess P&J herself, okay? Princess PB&J Adele is the only person who has yet to do... Who can... I don't know, like... Even Michael Jackson had less successful albums in his peak.
Yeah.
Even NSYNC... saw a tumble. Adele has this magical pass where it doesn't matter. The not hits are hits. Everything is a smash success. She sold 17 million records in, like, I was pissing, and she sold 3 million more. It was so uncomfortable. Like, there were just dollar signs coming out of my dick because there's nowhere else for the money to go. Adele has so much money. Adele has Harry Potter money. I don't know. Outkast, you guys gave one of the most classic records of all time. You guys gave Songs in the Key of Hip-Hop. Your record didn't tell the summer's story. This record defined the summer, and it could never ever perform as well as it did ever again. That's it.
Yep. And like I said, you put it on today, even if you haven't thought about it in a while, and it's still an exciting song. It still brings you right along with it. And if you play this at your aunt's wedding, despite the fact that it is definitely about divorce, all of the olds will be out on the dance floor with all of the youngs, and for 4.5 minutes, the world will seem right.
Yeah, and everybody's gonna kind of be a little uncomfortable about I'll Make You Come, and that's fine.
Hey, it kind of sounds like he's saying comma a lot more than it sounds like come, so he gets away with it.
Comma. Okay.
All right, Beyonce, Naughty Girl. I know you want to go back. I forgot this song existed.
I'll be your naughty girl. I'm calling all the girls. Blah, blah, blah. It's, you know, like, fuck anybody who samples Love to Love You.
Oh, yeah.
But, like, it's fine. It's Beyonce.
You know, it is Beyonce, technically. You know, she sang the song. Her name is on it. But it doesn't feel like a Beyonce song today. Like, this, thematically, how it sounds, it's just like... the Beyonce we know wouldn't do this song.
No, this is a Christina Milian or Ashanti or Rihanna song because it's so shapeless. It's so for that song to be any one of those women means something terrible about this song. As a matter of fact, I could hear this song being produced for the Black Eyed Peas.
Honestly, it's funny you said that this is a Christina Milian song because she's coming up. And as I was going through this and I got to that song, I just thought this song would be probably be like a little bit better. Well, not better because it's Beyonce, but like it'd be a little more fitting if Christina Milian did it. And I feel like Beyonce could probably do that Christina Milian song better. Maybe we accidentally slipped into like the universe where the Berenstain Bears were the Berenstain Bears and Mandela was spelled with an A. And like, it's real. Like, we're in the universe with Shazam instead of Kazam. Who's Nina Sky and why are we moving our body?
This is nonsense. This is nonsense. Move your body. So, you're right. This song is super. Yeah, no, this song is super terrible. It's I like it, actually. I actually like this song, but I like it in a Lisa cult jam way. I like it in a, you don't need it. This song is so silly. It's so, that this song as a success is reductive. It is, honest to God, this song is, just, it's so, oh my God, the fact that I heard it when I was doing my research for the episode, I was mad.
Mm.
You go.
So, no, go ahead, go ahead.
I was mad this made money.
Sometimes when a song does absolutely nothing for me, I just go to the related videos and see what I would rather be listening to. And, you know, like Amari's One Thing, Ciara One Two Step.
Oh my God. Oh my God, Amari's One Thing is like the best song ever.
Early Rihanna, like that'll be a nice change of pace when we get to those in a couple of years. But this, no thank you. So let's go on to that song we mentioned already. Christina Milian, Dip It Low.
I think this the fuck I fucking think this song is hot as hell. I actually still think this song is hot. My only problem is there's something really horrible in her delivery in the chorus. It's one like tonal degree away from creepy old witch in a horror film. You know what I mean? She's kind of like dip it low. Like it's really like it's she's cursing you. Like she's forcing you to the floor. It's not cool.
She's singing it like Bette Midler sings I Put a Spell on You.
Yes, that's exactly right. This is by Christina Milian Sanderson. And it's just creepy. But other than that, the song's really hot. There's something interesting about the song. Her being like, hey girl, my name's Christina Milian, and I'm going to teach you how to fuck your man good. Like, there's something so carnal about this song. This song isn't like, hey girls, I'm going to teach you cute ways to impress your man. There's nothing reserved about this song. She flat out says, I'm going to show you how to make your man say, oh. I don't think she's like making, I don't think he's saying, oh, what a good sandwich. I think he's saying like, oh my God, your pussy's so good. I can't believe you're slamming it like that. Christina Milian taught you this? Damn, where did she learn it? What's wrong with Christina Milian? She has a dad, you know what I mean?
This needs, like, the video needed a moment, like, in a infomercial where it shows, like, the hapless, dopey white dad who, like, doesn't know how to do the thing. He's just, like, having sex. It's like, need help? Get Christina Milian. Dip it low. Four payments of $19.99.
Hey, white lady in suburbia, I'm going to show you how to rock that thing. And, like, then it cuts to him at the end of the infomercial, and he's got his thumbs up, and his wife is straddling him, and he's going, oh, boy! And, like, it's awful. This is the worst episode we've ever done.
A synonym for this title is just Go Balls Deep.
The name of this, yeah, for real, this song really is pretty pornographic.
Move but it I like it.
Work it out like his back broke, like that's like
just pop that
that's yeah, it's hot, it's fucking hot. That's like, damn, It's awesome. So, yeah, it's hot. No.
Black Eyed Peas, Hey Mama.
Hey Mama, this is a song that sounds like all the other songs by the Black Eyed Peas, Mama.
We're in the timeline currently. It's 2004. I would say we're at, like, 3 Black Eyed Peas. Like, they show 4 of them. But realistically, right now, it's just Will.i.am, Fergie, and the long-haired guy. Mr. New Radical's bucket hat fellow here is, he might as well be out of the band.
Okay, so I would say this is the first time that it went from, hey, let's make sure to focus on Fergie for a little bit, to it's the Fergie show.
Oh, yeah, this is a Fergie-heavy video.
And not even just a Fergie-heavy video, it's called Hey Mama. And I think we're supposed to get that Fergie is the mama. And Fergie, so this is one of the first times that Fergie tries to enchant you like a gypsy. So,
pardon moi?
So I love Fergie, and I have been defending her up until this national anthem debacle. But so one of the things Fergie loves to do is she loves to sing in that fucking baby voice that just complaining about. And that la la la, it's kind of like she's kind of like trying to get you to put money in the bucket. And like she's playing like the little castanets as she's dancing.
She's like a little Muppet too, because sometimes she just likes to spell stuff.
She does just love spelling. She loves spelling her own name. Like she's really proud she can do it. And she needs you to cheer for her.
The Black Eyed Peas definitely could be Sesame Street residents.
Her own name, it troubles me. I'm worried we didn't read about a car accident, and now the only way Fergie can remember her own lyrics is to constantly spell her name, and Will.i.am comes up and gives her a sticker.
Oh my god, wait, Memento starring Fergie? She's just got a tattoo across of her chest that spells her name? Just Fergie lyrics all down her arms.
Because, like, she's got Glamorous, where she's G-L-A-M-O-R-O-U-S, and then she, she's the F to the E, R, G, the I, the E.
You've just got Will.i.am, like, stabbing that guy with insulin until he's dead. it's time for your insulin, Lenny. Oh, fuck.
Oh my goodness, this is off the Richter. Okay.
Oh man, Black Eyed Peas featuring Joe Pantoliano.
Oh my god, this is...
Hey, Fergie!
No, I don't want it anymore. My husband thinks that my taste in movies is disturbing. One of our first ever hangouts was watching Seven, and he's like never forgiven me. But like, he just said nope in the background.
It's not. You mean you're not turned on by Gwyneth Paltrow's severed head in the box?
I actually kind of conceptually am. But like, it's not like I tried to make him watch a Serbian film. But I think so like a lot of movies that I liked at the time, I remember him being like, I don't want to watch that, it's disturbing. And so I used to put Seven and Memento in sort of the same folder of movies I just couldn't show Kevin. And so now I have this mental image of Seven starring the Black Eyed Peas, and when they open the box, it's one of the other guys, and he just starts rapping.
That could, I guarantee you there's a video where it's just their severed heads rapping like it's a fucking segment from Houseu. Like, that has to exist.
And it's just Fergie going, what's in the box? For like 2 minutes.
B-O-X, B-O-X, B-O-X.
It's I-T-S, F-E-R-G-I-E, B-O-X. She just raps, it's Fergie's box for like 5 minutes, and it's the double entendre of it's her box. And so Will.i.am keeps being like, what's in the box, who's in the box, girl? And then there's the one guy who like raps really well in Tagalog.
No, the other two guys are fucking each other to death in the background.
God,
he made me do it.
We're both in really bad places in our lives if this is how this episode is coming out.
Oh, man.
Okay.
We might be the only people that find this funny.
Okay. Dude by Beanie Man is forgettable, but hey, Beanie Man, welcome back. Freak-a-Leak by Petey Pablo, equally stupid. I don't think we even need to talk about it. Slow motion is just good for a cadence. Slow motion for me. Slow motion for me. That's all it's good for. But it's the first time I'd ever seen the term soldier.
Oh, okay. I got soul, but I'm not a soldier boy.
Tell him. That is so fucking funny. I got soul. I'm not a soldier boy. Okay, but so can I talk about this next song for a second?
Is it Get Out, Leave by, or Leave, Get Out by JoJo?
So Chris can tell anybody, I'm not like, man, I was slick, I always had somebody. I was never lonely for very long. I always had somebody. I am not a guy who does single well. I'm not like I had my choice of guys, but like, I kind of did. And my husband won for one really clear reason, no question. Not only is he super hot and super amazing and super wonderful and handsome and stuff, but like, he makes me laugh harder than anyone I've ever known. Mm-hmm. And we have a lot of really ridiculous jokes in our marriage. And I have this recurring bit I do with him that he plays into because he's a sick man. Where I talk about how certain pop songs, if they were turned into Cheers, would sound really stupid. And so, like...
Wait, like the theme song for Cheers?
No, very good, though. I like that a lot. No, like, we could have had it, what? Rolling in the where? You had my what inside of your where? You did what to the bee?
I don't even know what we're doing anymore.
So, anyway, one of the things about this song, Leave, Get Out by JoJo, is...
Oh, right.
I am so fucking amused by the background vocals that are like, leave! Man.
Yeah.
What?
Get Out. Great movie. Not a great song.
Waste of time.
This song gets you on a list that we are definitely on. Do you want to guess how old she was when the song was released?
16.
13.
Whoa, no. She was not 13 when this song came out.
Yes, sir. That's weird. That's weird. There's someone who makes decisions who was like... JoJo, this is the song you should sing. So I imagine his voice is more like, JoJo, this is the song you should sing.
I have this mental image of he has two assistants holding back his fat and watering him.
I have an image that he's just Lou Pearlman.
Well, then it would have been a young man named JoJo.
Fair. This song isn't, like, bad. It's just, like, we've heard it a couple of times on this show.
I actually really like this song a lot. I think it's a little silly. I do think this goes into that category of JoJo. Okay, so this song and JoJo both kind of play a little bit more to a classic R&B sense. She's not exactly her contemporaries. She's a little bit more classic here. And in that regard, she kind of has that R. Kelly 90s sense of say your lyrics really honestly.
Yeah, I agree. She puts... We're going to get to a song later that is literally just someone singing words. Like, I wouldn't say they're performing. Like, JoJo, for someone so young, and I mean, maybe there's a good producer behind it, but she's fucking trying. She's putting herself in this song.
Yeah. I think she sings the hell out of it, too. But I especially think she hits that Get Out. It's so powerful. I think JoJo's actually a great performer.
I was looking at her Wikipedia, like, she's done stuff here and there. Acting, singing, continuously finding new record labels. But, like, she hasn't stopped. She's a working artist.
I do think that some of the things about this song that hold it back are maybe... It is kind of like, we're breaking up. Get out of here. No more of this. I don't want to. Not us anymore. This isn't good. It hasn't been good for me. Go home. It is very stream of consciousness.
Well, I mean, that's also a very 13-year-old girl, but at the same time, thematic, I guess, fuck, what am I trying to say here? The depth of the song is very 13-year-old girl, but the content is not, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I don't know. I think it's a good song. I think she's a good performer. I think it's definitely a song, but I would have said 16, clearly. This is a song that goes in that list of young white girls they hyper-sexualized at this period in time.
Yeah, I mean, it just could have been worse. I'm sure there was some disgusting producer who would have wanted to sing that Christina Milian song, because the entertainment industry is full of monsters. Chingy, One Call Away. Chingy sure does sing stupid.
If you was my baby. Yeah. He sings kind of like a cartoon character.
I mean,
with a really clogged nose.
We have so many cartoon characters on this episode. We got really Sesame Street Fergie. We got Western Wing Teletubby, and we have Chingy.
So here's something about this song. When I said that this album really reminds me of my senior year, like, every one of these songs actually does have a vague connection to something my senior year, if not every one of them, most of them. I would say of the 20 tracks, 16. And this one is a... so the high school I went to was a little progressive in, like, one or two ways, and one of them was, if you took theater for two solid years, your third year was theater workshop, where you were one of the directors. You didn't just take theater, you helped teach the lower grade, and you helped direct, and it was actually really cool, and it was a really different experience. And in my theater class, a number of the juniors really loved this song, and they all worked at McDonald's together. And I want to say like 10 improvs in a row all ended with "If you was my baby."
Oh,
and
boy,
it was one of those things that got burned in my memory. And now whenever I hear this song, I just kind of get mad for a second and then laugh. If that makes any sense.
Yeah,
like
once
it sort of became an affectionate. That's what she said.
Well, I'm sure Chingy will be happy to know that there's someone out there who remembers him.
Yeah. His name's real problematic.
Is it?
I don't know. I just don't like it. I don't like it. I don't know. It's too... You know when like something's too close to another word that it shouldn't be close to? Like there's that word that person one time used for cheap that has a different origin than the N-word, but it sounds dangerously close to it.
Yes.
He just never should have used it, because anything that even resembles a word that is a hate word, just avoid it. Avoid it. Go out of your way to avoid it. And it's just, I don't know. Always made me feel weird. I don't know. I'm not even kidding.
A British guy bums a cigarette and accidentally has a hate crime on his record?
Exactly.
So I have a good memory of the next song that makes me laugh every time I think of it. Britney Spears, Every Time. Favorite theater experiences ever was, and we'll talk about the actual song. I actually have some stuff to say about this song, and especially the video. But, and I know I've brought it up on the show before, and I'm sure one day I will be on the Cage Club Network to talk about this movie. One of my favorite movie-going experiences ever was when me and two friends got high and went to go see Spring Breakers on opening night, and we knew Harmony Korine, because we're a bunch of fucking movie nerds, and we knew, like, well, we didn't know what to expect, but we weren't expecting what everyone else in the theater was there to expect, which is the con that Harmony Korine was playing. With everyone there was some bro-y idiot who was there to see, like, I don't know, like, fucking, like, Dirty Grandpa, or, like, you know, a movie where there's a bunch of girls in bikinis, and, like, someone gets hit in the balls, and, like, someone gets, like, shit on, or whatever. You know, one of those comedies that no one, like, likes when they're above the age of 17, ideally. Everyone else in that theater was not ready for Spring Breakers. And this scene happens where this song starts playing. And I laughed so hard that when I watched the movie again, I realized that I lost like 5 minutes of the movie, because I was still laughing so hard after this scene occurred. And I'm not going to get too far into it, because if you have not seen it, see Spring Breakers immediately. It's not the movie you expect, and it's just, this is the best use of music in a film since, like, Goodfellas. So I will always love this song, and I think this is the first time I've listened to this song all the way through that was not related to that film.
Okay, really interesting.
Mm-hmm. Have you seen Spring Breakers?
No.
Oh, you got it. It's so good.
You and Joey have both said that to me on multiple occasions.
We love that movie.
I'm super excited to see it then.
Have you seen this music video in recent memory? Or
I actually, I know this piece pretty well. So, okay. I was super into Frou Frou.
Yeah.
I'm super into Imogen in general. It's very my sound. It's very my thing. And this is the other half of Frou Frou. This is Guy Sigsworth producing this.
Oh, okay.
So I actually super dig this song, and I do remember the video pretty clearly. I also remembered thinking that, okay, you know how when somebody's not known for being a good singer and they sing something even 2% impressive, you're like, oh, shit! You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. If you set the bar really, really low, anything is impressive. Like...
Definitely.
Cher hit some pretty impressive notes on a track on Believe, or when Madonna showed off several years of vocal lessons to be able to sing all of those notes on Ray of Light, or when Rihanna can count to 7. If you set the bar low enough, anything is really impressive. And I sort of feel like Britney Spears is very breathy. Is really the only thing that makes her performance on this work. I think Britney Spears is the weak link on this song. And that's what holds it back from being a really great song. I think I would actually want to hear anybody from Justin Timberlake, ironically, when it's supposedly about him. So I really wish I hadn't said him. I feel really bad now. I would love to hear a Bruno Mars do this song.
I don't know. I don't know about that one, but I'm with you for the rest of that.
I just mean any other pop artist, somebody who has more of a voice. Really,
but do you think someone
else
would oversing it? Like, again, the next song I'm going to do, I'm going to talk about. I have so many words for the next song, but it's oversung too. And I feel like her ability to bring this song actually down a level improves it.
I get you. I do get you. No, actually, I think this song could be a really powerful Broadway-esque number, especially that bridge. I think if Lea Michele sang this, you would be transformed, and you would literally you'd be like, wow, like you would never want to watch Glee ever again, but you'd be so blown away by this performance. And like, I do think that about this song. I think Britney Spears co-wrote a hell of a song here. I think she created an incredible piece of art, but I think the performance is just bad.
And I think that is the kind of the criticism of Britney Spears, that she was never really, it was never really her voice that drove any of her songs, really, after Baby One More Time. Like, I think she kind of slayed that performance, but I think she'd been subdued kind of the rest of her career.
For the 11th time, has anybody mentioned the Britney Spears auto-tune video? Oh my god, it's gold. I can't stop laughing. If you haven't seen it yet.
That's just going to earn an honorary mention, permanent space in the liner notes at this point.
It has to. If Britney Spears is on here, you just post it. It's like every time Norm walks into the bar, we have to start doing more Cheers references.
Norm! Yeah. This video, so I'd been waiting for the video where Britney Spears kills herself. I'd felt like three other of the songs was that, but it's this one. And Stephen Dorff, of all people, plays the boyfriend in this, which was surprising. Always nice to see Stephen Dorff show up. He's like the poor, poor man's Timothy Oliphant.
Okay, or do you know what he is?
What's that?
He's the wealthy man, Stephen Baldwin.
I feel like the video, like, so, like, this is a video where she kills herself in the bathtub, and I never knew that the end of this video was, like, it's so melodramatic and over the top, but it kind of works for this song, and she sells it decently. But I didn't know that the end of the video, like, she died, and then, like, a baby was born, and it's just ridiculous. And then it fades to white, And then she, like, springs out of the water, like, laughing and giggling after the previous 4 minutes were about, like, her and her boyfriend's terrible relationship and how much she hates fame. Like, that clearly was, like, a... Like, the studio went into the B-roll and was like, oh, cool, we got the shot of her, like, laughing at the end of a take. Let's slap this on because Britney Spears cannot kill herself in a music video.
You know, I think this was a really interesting point. This was the point in her career where you almost believed she was in control. This was the point where you almost thought, okay, Britney Spears, self-possessed woman. Like, you know, when you talk about Lucky, Lucky is such a fucking joke. You know what I mean? It's...
The first song that I thought was the Suicide video.
Yeah, I think her second album is a little early for the artsy Suicide video. But I... At least you're not like, I thought Baby One More Time was the Suicide video. She kills herself on her teacher's desk after the gym number.
I was positive the snake in the I'm a Slave for You video ate her.
Yeah. And the rest of her career has been inside the snake. That's actually where the inspiration for Toxic came from. Yeah. Fuck me. Nico, when you don't get a laugh, just keep moving. So, I think this song is a joke. I think we're actually getting into 1, 2, 3 hyper-dramatic songs in a row.
Wait, Nico, there is an Glee version of Every Time.
Is it Lea Michele?
No. It's in the Wikipedia entry. They show James Franco. And they mentioned that, and then a bunch of trash
I'll ask someone who watched Glee.
It's when I got it. It's
Every Time. Where'd they go? Britney Spears.
Marley Rose, Melissa Benoit. Melissa Benoit, Chris Benoit.
That's Supergirl. Supergirl. That's Supergirl.
Supergirl did this.
She's also underplaying it. She's just doing Britney. It's like a karaoke version.
Yeah, and I still don't love hers.
Yeah, well, watch James Franco's, and it's and you'll have a new appreciation for it.
Dank memes. I can't hear you. I say, what's cooler than being cool? Dank memes.